Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Siegel, and we're continuing today with the ninth Mizmar of the Book of Tehillim, Perek Tes. This is a song thanking Hashem for victory, but also asking Hashem for a victory. It's a song of thanks and appreciation, and a song acknowledging that we're downtrodden. Let's begin with the first pasuk, which provides the introduction to the Mizmar. Pasuk Aleph Lamnatzeach Almus Laben Mizmor LeDavid. For the conductor upon the death of Laben, Almus Laben, or upon the death of the son, the Bain, a song by David. Already, we're not clear what's going on. Who was Laben, or who was the son that after he died, David sang and wrote a song? So there are a number of opinions, and we're just going to bring down a few. And all of these are brought down by Rashi, except for the last one. Number one, Laban was a strong and arrogant king who fought David's army and fell into their hands. We find no mention of him in Tanakh, except for in this song, in this Tehillim. After he was killed, Laban, David's army was very proud of their victory. And David wanted them to understand that their victory was only through God, not because of their own strength. So he sang this song. Laban could also be referring to Goliath, to Goliath, the vicious giant from the Philistines who threatened the Jewish nation during the time of King Shaul. He's referred to in the book of Shmuel as the Ish HaBeinayim, sounding similar to Laban. It's called Ish HaBeinayim because he stood Bain in between two mountains. Hence, the word Laban could be referring to the victory that David had with the great Goliath. Laban can also be referring to the color white, Lavan, Lamed, Beis, or Veis, Nun. In the future, when Amalek is totally destroyed, the Jewish people will be purified, and any black scars that we have will turn white. So this could be a song of the future war, the final war that we will have. This song can be inspired by the death of the son of David. So it could be his son Avshalom, who tried to usurp David's throne. We spoke about this in chapter 3. Or lastly, it could be, according to the Medrash Shochar Tov, the first son that was born to David and Bathsheba, who died a week after he was born. And so we can understand how David can sing a song after the death of those who wanted to kill him or wanted to kill the Jewish people. But how can he sing a song after the death of his infant son, who he had been praying continually for a week for his recovery? So the Alshech, based on this Medrash and Medrash Shochar Tov, explains that the letters that spell Laben, or on the son, are the same letters that spell the color white, as we just said before. David saw the death of his baby son as a purification. He appreciated that despite his pain, God was his tower of strength, and he thanked God for giving him the ability to continue with life after the loss of his son. Rav Shimshon Pinkus explains that even through this tragedy, David was able to draw closer to God and develop a deeper appreciation for all that he had. Rather than letting his suffering distance him, he used it as a means to strengthen his connection with Hashem and purify himself. The word almus, let's go back to the first pasuk, lamenatzeach almus laben, for the conductor almus laben, and we translated it as on the death of, but it's written in two words, al and mus. But if you put the two words together, you get the word almus, which means youthfulness. Rabbi Hirsch explains that the almus laben, the youthfulness of the son, is describing our relationship with Hashem. The Jewish people are like a son to God, so that even if we sin, God will find ways to chastise us so that we improve, but will never destroy us. We will always have that feeling of a young son of God. We will see this as we conclude the song. So these were just a few ideas or situations that inspired the song, and we're going to see these ideas in the psukim that follow and tie them all together when we finish. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, begins, Ode Hashem b'choli bi, asapra kol neflo secha. I will thank Hashem with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Meaning, I'm not just thanking Hashem for this particular victory, but I'm a thankful person. I do not take God's wonders for granted. Even the daily wonders that I experience, I appreciate. The word Yehudim, Jewish people, comes from the word Odeh, meaning thankful. This pasuk identifies us as a people. We are thankful people. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Esmecha ve'el tzavach, azamra shimcha elyon. I will rejoice and exult in you. I will sing your name, Most High. In other words, through my sharing my excitement, I show everyone how great you are. And if we keep our appreciation of God's goodness to ourselves, we may feel his greatness, but we miss the opportunity to inspire others. And this is especially true in times of suffering. When a person, despite their struggles, praises God and openly shares the blessings in their life, it becomes a powerful source of inspiration for those around them. It could also be understood that after David defeated Goliath, or King Laban, when the nation lauded David, he made it clear that the victory is coming not from him, but from God. I will rejoice and exult in you. I will sing your name, Most High. Pasuk 4, Pasuk Dalad, Beshuv oivai achor, yikoshlu v'yovdu mipanecha. When my enemies retreat, they will stumble and perish before you. For pasuk hey, ki asisa mishpati v'dini, yashavta lichisei shofet tzedek. For you executed my judgment and my cause. You sat on your throne, O righteous God. And the psukim continue, describing the total defeat of the enemies that Hashem brought about. Let's skip ahead to pasuk ches, verse 8. V'Hashem le'olam yeshev, konein lamishpat kiso. Now the song continues to describe the greatness of God. And Hashem will sit forever. He prepares his throne for judgment. This victory is not just a one-time event that we're celebrating. He will prepare for the next victory because Hashem is forever. Pasuk 9, verse 10. And he will judge the world with righteousness, judging the nations with fairness. And now we're going to focus on the singer who is going through a hard time. Look at Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Vihi Hashem miskav ladach, miskav leitos batzara. And Hashem will be, or Hashem is, a tower of strength for the broken, miskav ladach, a tower of strength for those in times of pain. And here we see a reference to the one who is praising God. But nonetheless, he feels downhearted at the moment. And sometimes we need to wait for the victory, but we know that God is still present. And therefore, even if we're suffering, God is our pillar of strength. Pasuk Yud Aleph, continuing in this feeling of needing God's strength to help us. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Vayiftachu v'cha yod'ei shemecha, ki lo azavta darshecha Hashem. And those who know your name will trust in you, for you will not forsake those who trust in you. So, because we trust in Hashem, even though we aren't feeling the victory right now, Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, Zamru LaHashem Yoshev Tzion, Hagidu Va'amim Alilosav. Sing praise to Hashem, who dwells in Tzion, meaning with us in Tzion. Proclaim among the nations his deeds. Because Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ki Doresh Damim Osom Zachar, Lo Shachach Tzakas Anavim, for he who avenges blood, he has remembered them. He has not forgotten the cry of the afflicted. We recognize this pasuk because we say it on Shabbos whenever we say Av Harachamim, the Av Harachamim prayer. This is part of that tefillah. And this is referring to those martyrs throughout generations. The Medrash Shochar Tov tells us that Hashem wears a robe, and embroidered on this robe is the name of every person who has died throughout time because they were Jewish. So Hashem is going to avenge their blood. Hashem doesn't forget. Pasuk Yud Dalet, verse 14, Chananeni Hashem, Re'ei Ani Nisonai, Meromami Misha'arei Maves. And the song continues with a tefillah, with a request. Please, Hashem, have mercy on me. See my affliction from my enemies. Lift me up from the gates of death so that I can. L'ma'an asapra kolti lasecha b'sha'arei bas tzion agila b'shua secha, so that I can sing your praises in the gates of Bat Tzion, which literally means the daughter of Tzion, but what it refers to is the outskirts of Tzion, the suburbs. And now the prayer ends with David recognizing that God is saving us. Pasuk 16, verse Pasuk Tes Zion, Tav'u goyim b'shachas asu, b'reshes zu tamanu nilkeda raglam. Those nations have sunk into the destruction that they did. In the net that they concealed for us, they fell. Their own feet were caught. So once again, we see the story of a victory that Hashem has given us against the evil nations. Pasuk Yud Zayin, no, Pasuk 17, Noda Hashem Mishpat Asa, Befoal Kapav Nokesh Rasha, Higayon Sela. God has made himself known by the judgment he did. The wicked are caught by their own wickedness. Think about this. That's Higayon Sela. And Sela gives us a moment to take a breath, that once again we see Hashem making a victory for us. And as we begin Pasuk Yud Ches, verse 18, we just recognized Hashem's victory. But again, we're confronted by the wicked. Clearly, the singer still feels suffering at this moment. Pasuk Yud Ches, Yashuvu Resha'im Lish'ola, Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim. The wicked will return to the grave. Who are these wicked? Those who forget God. They don't acknowledge God. In other words, the grave is awaiting the wicked, says Mitzvah David. The wicked forget God. And now God will not forget us. Pasuk 19, Yud Tes. Ki lo lanetzach yishachach evyon, tikvas aniyim tovad la'ad. For God doesn't forget the destitute forever, nor shall the hope of the humble be lost forever. Even though it may seem that God is not there with us right now, we know it's only for a short amount of time that we will feel that he's not with us, but he doesn't forget us. And so now, Pasuk Chaf, once again, we beseech God, because at the moment, the arrogant nations feel like they have so much power to do what they want. So we say to God, or we ask God, Pasuk Chaf 20, verse 20, Kuma Hashem, Al ya'oz enosh, yishaftu goyim al panecha. Rise up, God. Don't let a mere mortal feel so much power. The nations should be punished because they went against you. And Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the last Pasuk 21, Shisa Hashem mora lahem, yed'u goyim enosh hema, sela. Let God put fear upon them. And the nations should realize that they are mere mortals and they don't have the power that they think they have. In other words, they seem to think they are immortal. And so we pray that they find out otherwise. They will not last and their impact will not last. Selah, think about it. Take a deep breath. This is not such an easy song to follow because it includes our praises and confidence, as well as our pain and supplications. Rav Hirsch explains that this mizmar expresses the historical experiences of the Jewish people. We have times of victory and confidence as we watch the fall of our enemies, and we have times where we face tremendous trials and tribulations and feel so broken, waiting for the wicked enemies to be destroyed. The title of the song, Al Mus HaBen, let's revisit that again, is referring to us, the Jewish people, as the sun, and Al-Mus as literally on top of death, Al-Mavet, on top of death, or beyond death, or immortal. No matter how difficult the moment is, and even how many mistakes that we as a nation make in the moment, we as a nation are Al-Mus. We are immortal. And we see this when we have victories and we celebrate our victories. And we also see our immortality when we suffer personal setbacks or national setbacks. We are part of eternity. And this is unlike the nations who, although they may feel that they're on top of the world now, in fact, they are mortal and their grandeur won't last forever. This Mizmor states, we as a nation are immortal, and therefore in challenging times and in triumphant times, we praise God, we pray to God, and we know that He is the true judge. And this gives us the pride and strength to continue to forge ahead as an individual and as a nation. We can't end without quoting Mark Twain in his famous essay in Harper Magazine in 1899, where he wrote, "All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality?" Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmot, Helen Moskowitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of Sheirit HaPleita in World War II. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. From their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.